People are fired up. I mean, there's some zeal in this room. Come on, it's like San Diego, right? San Diego's like that? Amen. We got a brother from San Diego Church, and he said the fellowship was just like this with 500 people. So can you imagine 500 people fellowshipping? It feels like that.
Feliz año nuevo. Amen. ¿Comprende? ¿Sí? Okay, poquito si hable. Si, señor. At this time, I'm going to go ahead and pray to the Lord. It's good to have everybody back. Back in Cornerstone. I hope you had a good break. A lot of new faces. We're going to go ahead and pray, and then we're going to go ahead and start at this time. Father in heaven, we come before you. Lord, it's so good to be back together here in Cornerstone. God, we missed each other. Thank you, God, for a great summer. No, sorry, winter break. Feels like summer outside. God, truly, you have blessed us abundantly with friends and family and church. Kept us safe in all those travels, wherever we went, Lord, during the Christmas time or even the New Year time. God, most of all, we want to thank you for a new year. We thank you for your blessings. Father, we pray that today, as we look at the scriptures, that we'll make some new decisions for this year. God, thank you. Thank you for each one of us. Protect us and guide us. Heal our bodies, Lord. Strengthen our bodies. Nourish our bodies. Nurture. We pray that you'll open our heart and our mind today as we hear God's word. We pray all in the name of Jesus. Amen. How many of us like to be tested in this world? How many of you like testing in a college setting or in a campus or high school or going for an interview with your boss, a new company? Are you excited, ready to go, or there's a sense of, oh my goodness, some stress going on? You know, just your hands are sweating and you don't want to shake the boss, and you kind of do a fist bump and you shouldn't do that, but you're wiping. I've done that. I had to wipe my hand. Hey, good to see you. You know, nobody likes testing. I want to talk about testings today. Why are we tested by the Lord? And I want to give you biblical insights today that if you get your heart and your mind ready, you can welcome the testings of future from God. Not from human beings, but from God. So we're going to start up our first scripture. And that's the title of our message today. For the next few months, we're going to talk about cleaning up our heart. Amen. In Deuteronomy chapter 8, if you want to turn over there or follow with me. Be careful to follow every command I'm giving you today so that you may live and increase and may enter and possess the land the Lord promised on oath your ancestors. This is Moses talking to the people of Israel. God put on his heart, and he's conveying the message. And he's saying, remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the wilderness these 40 years. Humble, and to test you in order to know what was in your heart. I got inspired after our sharing triad with Tony, Chris, and Sal. I said, I'm going to talk about it and preach about it today. And God says, I'm going to test you whether or not you would keep his commands. He humbled you, causing you to hunger, and then feeding you with manna, which neither you nor your ancestors had known, to teach you that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Your clothes did not wear out and your feet did not swell during these 40 years. Go figure that one. Know that in your heart, as a man disciplines his son, so the Lord God disciplines you. You know, God has a message. Moses has a message. I have a message today that God wants us to be ready for the testings. God is saying, I'm going to expose your heart. I want to know what's in there. Now, think about it. I think God already knows what's in there, right? But the question today, do you know what's in your heart? Do you know how you feel? Your emotions, your feelings, the attitudes, the bitterness, that stuff holding you hostage to this world. Some walls have come up, maybe. Maybe there's some walls built up in the year 2010 or 2015 or 16 or 2003 or 14 or 15 or 16 or even 2018, and you have dragged all that into 2019. Happy New Year. And sometimes we are not feeling the happiness in the new year because we are holding on that stuff in our heart. But God's saying, you know what? I want to expose it. If you don't expose it, then I'm going to expose it through a circumstance. I'm going to bring unique testings in your life to expose it. I'm so proud of Zach. 3 weeks ago, he came to the Lord. Amen. Whew. But prior 3 weeks of that, end of November, I don't know the exact date, there were some feelings, strong feelings, with the family, some dysfunction. That we were doing Friday night and we were just having a conversation with the campus, he just broke down. He just opened up. Guys, the encouragement. God allowed circumstances in his life with the family to test whether you will still love God or not. I appreciate your heart. After that, he became stronger and stronger. And he sat down with Chris and Max and me and the other bros and said, hey, you know what? Jesus is Lord in spite of the testings of the Lord. I got a question for you today. How do you feel about testings from God? How do you feel about the discipline? God says, know then in your heart, just like a father will discipline his son, so will I, because you are my son and you call me father. That settles it. That's a contract we sign with God as a covenant with our heart when you say, Jesus is Lord. Now, if you didn't say it, it's a different discipline. But you will get disciplined. Everybody in this world will get disciplined. But if you say, Jesus is Lord, amen. Satan is after you. God's there to protect you. And so I want to encourage the church. And if you are visiting with us today, welcome. We are a hot seat church. Amen to that. We want to be all heart. Not of bitterness, but of joy, peace, and love, and self-control. Amen to that. But we need help. We have a struggle with our flesh. Our flesh is just pulling us apart. And so here the first point I want to talk about is testings expose your heart. And And we got to learn that. Moses talked about three reasons for suffering: to humble you, to test you, and to teach you. I was talking to the brothers yesterday, and I said, the faster we learn, the lesser the test. This is my 30-year walk with the Lord, 30-plus. And I remember the early days when I said, Jesus, Lord, I had a lot of stuff in my heart towards people, towards relationships, towards family, towards church members back in the day. They're different churches because I moved. I carried myself to another city, another city, another city. Amen, Webb. I remember Webb saying in one of the father's churches, you're the same person with another city. You're taking yourself. And that's when I realized that I gotta deal with my heart. I got to talk about, keep the good attitudes and talk about the bad attitudes. Because I'm going to become bad if I don't deal with it. If I don't deal with it, God's going to allow circumstances to explode. And so that's my first scripture right here. How do you feel about it? Is that depressing or is it encouraging? I'm just sharing the Bible. That's all I'm... I really want us as a church to prepare for the next testings coming in 2019. Write down if you want to. If you're a prophet or prophetess, whatever you want to call it. Predict your next testing in 2019. I'm not even going to try that one. Maybe I can. We talk a little bit with the bros. We might try it. What could it be? Students, can you tell? Professor, teacher, you're a single man or woman, what would you that be? Temptations of the world. If you're a married couple, hey, there's going to be fights. Let me just promise you, if you're married today, you will have an argument this year. You will. But how are you going to deal with it? Are you prepared for that? That's the whole goal here. You're preparing for the next battle of the storm God is going to bring, because you know He's trying to teach you something. Amen to that. Secondly, testings develop maturity. Let's turn to James chapter 1. James 1, 2-4. Consider it pure joy. There's a country who makes ice cream like that. Pure joy. That if you eat that ice cream, you'll actually be joyful. And I tried that. And I wasn't joyful. You try to eat ice cream or milkshake to get fired up sometimes, right? But you know what? You just put on more calories. Unless you go play soccer after that. Consider pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds. Because you know, again, you see that language? You know, you should know. Just like in Deuteronomy, you should know. You got to know that God will discipline you. You know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. So, I'm pressing the wrong thing here. Okay, there we go. Trials going to come this year in 2019. Relationships, job, and money. Amen, campus? It's going to come. Where's the loan going to come? What am I going to study? What course I'm going to take? You're going to have a trial. Tony's going to have a trial. maybe a new job. He's getting ready. I appreciate his heart. Yesterday we had a great trial. A trial. What is your trial? Of many kinds. You know, the Bible says it's going to come. Why? To develop what? Discouragement, right? What does the Bible say? Impatience, right? Disunity, right? No. Perseverance. Endurance. Long-suffering. You know, I figured this out. Some years ago, I realized why God is allowing me to go through all those trials. Why? You ever figure that out? You ever sit down, just kind of sit down and just meditate and go away, maybe a vacation, maybe go to the lake, or why God? Have you ever done that? Why God so many trials? You know what the answer was? I'm not mature. Simple. And that's the benchmark. That's the benchmark of your life. You're getting trial every day, every single day, every week, every month, and this is not getting away, and you're stuck in that same trial for the whole of your life. That means you're not persevering. Because when you persevere, what happens? When you persevere, when you endure that trial of many kinds, what does the Bible say? It's right here. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature. You know, we all want to be mature to Christians, right? But for that to happen, to get that label from God, you got to persevere. What do we need to do practically? Pray. If you don't pray and trust the Lord, what were you expecting up there? The magic pill? No. We give up. That's the other option. I know so many people give up. So many. They just walk away. Because they're not mature. And they blame everybody else. No, you can't blame anybody. God loves it. God loves it. Okay? And so perseverance, you pray, you're going to build what? You be God-reliant, and you build strong character. And so when I understood this long time ago, that God is allowing a certain trial in my life, He wants me to be mature in that character. Looking back with my soccer, I love soccer. Dislocated wrist, collarbone cracked, broken three places, torn ligament, and ankle, all of that. He's preparing me to be patient. He's preparing me for the mission, for people, be patient with people. When I broke my collarbone, I had to sleep on a bed for 3 months. Sorry, on a chair, on a recliner chair. Strapped, I was strapped. I don't know if you ever had that in your life. You're strapped. If you break a collarbone, don't even try. If you want, you can try it. Okay? You gotta wear it. You strap it, and you gotta remove it for 3 months. Everywhere you go, even when you take a shower, you can put something else, like a plastic bag. All because of the love of soccer. Because I was showing off. I can relate to that a little bit. I was showing off that I can stop a goal without my hands. I did it. We made a rule that we will only use our legs and we can't use our hands. We were radical back in our early 20s. And so I can't let this ball go in, and so I can't use my hand. And so what I did is I threw my whole body to block the goal, and guess what happened? Right here, crack right here. And then when I got up, my hand was still on the floor. I was like, oh man, I better hold it up. I was like, oh no. But I was fired up, I stopped the goal. God uses everything, the trial, to teach you something. But you know what? God is preparing for the mission field, preparing for people who have problems all the time. He's preparing for my marriage in the future. God uses your character, I'm telling you. He's teaching you something to help you 5 years from now. Take a minute or two. Write down the trials you're going through right now, this minute. This week, last 1 month, whatever. What are some trials? Written that, you can share with the person next to you. Share your trials with the person next to you. I'll share my trial. So my trial, no time to do work. Yeah, no time, okay? No time. Needs at home, okay, I cleaned the house, my car broke down, it was just crazy, my alternator broke, I had to go fix it, then there was a flat tire, and then phone calls, one of my buddy's dad passed away, I couldn't call him, I had no time, and I had to prepare the whole retreat. Yeah, that's fine. That's okay. Which is good. Amen. Amen. You can continue sharing after church. Now, how do you feel about that? How do you feel about your trials? And what are we going to do about it? Actually, this is good for you. Did you know that? It's doing something to your life. This last 10 days or 2 weeks came back, my trials, okay. No time to do work at home. Honey, do this, do that. It's not you, honey, but it's me. Needs at home. Phone calls, people want to talk. Car breaking down, carburetor's gone. I couldn't use that. While I went there was a flat tire. One of my buddy, Christopher, his dad passed away. I don't even have time to call him. He's grieving. I'm like, I need God, but he needs encouragement. This whole week's been so busy. The retreat, it's crazy busy. There's so much to do in terms of planning. But with all that, I'm pressed for time. I'm on like a clockwork. What's God trying to teach me? Allowing Him even more. And so it's good you're connecting with your trial and you identify there's a reason for it. If you can know what that reason is, you're growing in the Lord. Because if you're not having God relying and God's trying to teach you something, maybe patience, maybe self-control, something in your character, then you become negative. Man, that stupid car. Why is my honey nagging me all the time? It's not you, honey. I'm separating myself. Why the retreat all came like this together? You become negative. And Satan loves to play with your emotions. You keep reading chapter 1. It's talking about temptation. James talks about being steadfast in the Lord. Looked at the clock and said, I've got to keep going. And finally, the last scripture, it's time to clean up our hearts. Let's look at Mark 7. And Jesus talks about our heart. The Pharisees had an issue with Him. The Pharisees were talking about, whoa, how come your disciples are not washing hands? And why don't you clean it up? And Christ came and said, you know, it's not about the outside to clean it all up. Which, hey, we need to be clean. But don't focus too much on that. Focus on your heart, on your life. So we'll pick up reading in Mark chapter 7. And he's trying to talk to the Pharisees to don't get caught up with all the legalism, and just stick with the Word, okay? So I'm going to pick up reading verse 13. Thus you nullify the Word of God by your traditions that you have been handed down, and you do many things like that. They're getting caught up with all the legalism. Again, Jesus called the crowd to Him and said, listen to me, everyone, and understand this. Nothing outside a man can make him unclean by going into him. Rather, it is what comes out of a man that makes him unclean. After He had left the crowd and entered the house, the disciples asked Him about this parable. Are you so dull? Don't you see that nothing that enters a man from the outside can make him unclean? For it doesn't go into his heart, but into his stomach, and then out of his body. In saying this, Jesus declared all foods clean. Small freebie there. That's all I'm going to say. He went on, what comes out of a man is what makes him unclean. From within, out of men's hearts, come evil thoughts. Notice, Christ put evil thoughts number one. Because before you sin, all right, let's all look at the baby. Isn't he a cutie? Bye. See ya. Amen. I love the family. Notice what Christ does. He puts evil thoughts number one because before you sin, you got to think first. It's all up here. If you and I can control this thing up here, this, what do you call it? Noodles? No. Something like that. Frontal lobe, whatever you want to call it. The amygdala, whatever, the whole brain. If you can just control the mind. Teens, I know you're listening. If you can control this, then you can control everything else. Because once a thought becomes evil, you're done. Now, I'm not saying you won't be tempted. You got to catch it. I shouldn't think that way. No. That brother's hurting me. No, I'm not. No, I love that brother. He's awesome. Why is he not responding to my text? Okay, he's okay. He's fine. It's okay, he's sleeping. Why did he sleep? No, it's okay, let him sleep. It's okay. It's all good. Sexual immorality, number two in the list. It is so prevalent in this world, I cannot even know when to start talking about it. There's so much going on in this world. And Christ knows it's all from our heart. We can control that. We can clean that up. Life is good. And then it goes on, theft. Ooh, theft is number three. Murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance and folly, all these evils come from inside and make a man unclean. You know, we're going to be talking the next couple of weeks, this whole month, about triads and how we can be able to talk about our heart and clean up our heart. And I want us to all to really take to heart, everyone in this room, and those who are not here, make it a goal to clean up our heart in 2019. I'm going to be different. This is the most incredible year of my life. But it's up to you. We can speak, we can encourage, we can nudge, we can love, we can hug, we can hang out, we can have a coffee, we can have a tea. Hey, let's hang out. We can do all that. But eventually, at the end of the day, it's going to be you saying, I want to be different for the Lord. In a minute or two, we're going to take the communion. I want us to be honest with ourselves. If you're hurting today, talk about it. If you need help, talk about it. Don't keep stuff in your heart and wait for God to bring in a big discipline. Because here's what I learned. Either you deal with it or God will deal with you. But you will be dealt. I'm sorry to say it. You and I will be dealt in this world. That's the nature of the business here. That's how it works. Yeah? And so let's go ahead and pray. I want us to have an incredible 2019. We'll bring in the team in two weeks. We've had a great leadership meeting. We're all so unified. We talked about a lot of plans. Thank you, leadership, for that, for being open and sharing, working together. It's going to be a tremendous year. Let's go ahead and pray. Father, we come before you, Lord. We thank you for this morning. God, we're so humbled. When I read that scripture, Deuteronomy 8, Lord, I shiver every time when I read. And God, the people of Israel, they walked for 40 years, day in, day out in the desert, looking for truth. And God, a lot of them never made it because they just didn't want to be connected with you. They pulled away their hearts. And you kept telling them and loving them, I'm going to love you and I'll still discipline you. I'll take care of you. I'll give you clothes and shoes and everything. I'll give you water. I'll give you manna. I'll give you everything. But still they walked away. And God, help us be people who love you, who will embrace testings. God, help us to expose and talk about our heart. Not just talk, but be able to deal with it. Help us never to be like the Pharisees who get so caught up with the outside, to polish everything so good, to look good. But God, help us to be people who, from the heart, will talk about that, get it out and surface. Because I know, God, that's a lot more easier, because the discipline from you, from the hand of God, is so mighty. God, we don't want to fall into the mighty hands of our Lord. God, we want to just submit. We want to surrender. We want to look at the Word. Internalize. Think about it. Think about each trial we'll be going through. And Father, to find out, what are you trying to really teach us? God, I know for me this week, I need to be more God-reliant. We're so busy doing things. God, help us our first week in Jan in the year 2019. That we'll make decision. As we talk about time capsule next week, as we talk about prayers, as we talk about goals, that we will be heartfelt and we'll be awesome people for you. God, as we take the bread and the wine at this time, help us to remember the cross. You died for us. You helped us to overcome all our sins because you went ahead. Thank you, God, for this time. We love you. In His name we pray.
Amen.